she's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Briley and Jimmy. See, I got it. About time you got back to work here. And the show today is brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sarah America. Hi, Briley.
Hi, Jimmy.
How was your holidays, your month and a half vacation and all that other good stuff? How's things going?
Things are going good. Life has been very busy.
But it's going good, though, right?
It's going good.
Oh, cool. Was it still windy outside when he came in?
Oh, yeah. My hair was all over the place.
Yeah. Well, let's check out some temperatures in our Today in Ag territory. That's my new deal I started today. Instead of Western Oklahoma and Eastern Texas Panhandle, I'm calling it the Today in Ag territory. How's that?
Yeah, I like it.
40 degrees. Man, if I can talk. I hadn't talked in 30 minutes. 40 degrees at Boise City, 45 degrees at Buffalo, 47 at Lahoma, 47 at Camargo, home of Cousin Eddie, 46 at Cheyenne, home of the secret weapon, and 50 degrees at Harmon and 49 at Hobart. And out here in the Panhandle of Texas, 44 at Canadian, 47 at Dozer, and 48 in Wellington, and 49 at Odell. All right, let's check out some wind gusts. You want to?
Yes.
All right, it doesn't look pretty. Man, it hit this morning, what, 4:30? I'm hard hearing, I heard it. I heard the dogs go, whoop. So I knew something was going on. 41-mile-an-hour gust right now at Boise City, 41-mile-an-hour gust at Buffalo. Basically everybody else is in the sustained wind somewhere around 20 to 30 with wind gust up 35 and 40 miles an hour. And we are under a red flag warning, which is not good. Let's just go ahead and go to the forestry department deal. Basically, I-35 west into the Panhandle, Texas Panhandle also included in that. Red flag warnings are out. Not a good day. Guys, ladies, whoever, please just don't do anything to cause a fire.
Yeah.
And there's a list of some items out that I've seen is, you know, I always say, check your chains on your trailer, check your wheel bearings. Some other things is if you burnt some trash piles or some timber piles or some grassland here in the last couple of days, go out and check them, make sure something ain't smoldering. Mm-hmm. I'm sure call the local fire department. Get her doused because we don't need any out there. And I know people that smoke cigarettes going to say, oh, shut up, Jimmy, but cigarette butts, please put them out in a cup or whatever. Keep them inside. Don't flip them out the window. And if you see somebody that's having some issues with their equipment, they're pulling down the highways or whatever, don't be bashful about pulling up beside them and pointing at something. Try to get them to stop because they had a big fire in Eastern Oklahoma here a couple of weeks ago, and it was a chain bouncing. And about every 50 yards, there was a fire starting. Mm. And so it's dim. Also, if we do end up engaging in a big grass fire today, wildfire today, if you have the, you ready?
Oh, gosh.
You ready?
I've got it.
So I'm getting ready to train Miss Briley on what to look for on the Oklahoma Mesonet app. It's a free app. So you go to your app. Let me just start all over. Yeah, exactly. One of the listeners says, just do whatever you're going to do another day, not today. And so go to your Mesonet app on your phone, and you can do this same thing on in your computer. Go to maps. You ready?
Okay.
And then go down to solar radiation and satellite. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Go to the Oklahoma Visible Satellite. I know all your firemen already know this because that's who I learned it from. So open that up. Now zoom out. And if there's a fire going on, you'll see a little black dot on your phone. And there's not one going on, thank goodness, right now.
That's good.
And so that solar radiation map will show where there's any grass fires going on.
That is cool.
So if you hear of a grass fire going on or something wildfire going on, and there's a national one there. Yep. So if you hear something going on out in the Texas Panhandle or Colorado or Kansas or something, you can always zoom in on it and see how big that fire is. That one at the Stone Creek House Fire, whatever it was out there, the big one, that million acre one, it was not pretty to look on the map. So it's kind of cool. Okay, let's see what happened overnight in our big world of agriculture. Wheat futures were higher in overnight trading on dry weather in the U.S. Southern Plains, where hard red winter wheat varieties are overwintering. Red flag warnings, an indicator of extremely dry weather, has been issued for parts of Oklahoma and Texas panhandles and other counties in western Oklahoma. According to the National Weather Service, high wind warnings are in effect for all of western Kansas, where wind gusts are expected up to 70 miles an hour. They can have that. Much of the Texas panhandle remains abnormally dry, but isn't yet seeing drought conditions, according to the U.S. Drought Monitor, which we discussed that yesterday. Soybean and corn, let me catch my breath here. Soybean and corn futures were higher overnight on signs of strong demand for U.S. supplies. China purchased another 204,000 metric tons of soybeans, and unidentified countries that I call John Doe's bought a combined 545,000 tons of soybeans. Japan took another 260,000, and a John Doe buyer bought 300,000 tons of the grain, according to the USDA in the report yesterday. The following purchases of soybeans, corn, and wheat announced each day this week on varying amounts to several countries are an indication that there is a demand for U.S. ag products. Wheat futures gained 4.75 cents to 5.15 and a quarter a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Kansas City overnight added 5.25 also to 5.22 and a half a bushel. Corn for March delivery, 1.75 to 4.22 a bushel, and soybean futures gained 2.75 to 10.55 3/4, and soy meal added a half a dollar 50 cents to 2.89.70 a short ton. There we go. Let's see here. Weather. Winter weather. According to the National Weather Service, not only we got it going on, wind going on around here, I guess they're saying snow flurries in the morning.
Yay.
Yeah. And then let's see here. We got winter weather advisories issued from the Canadian border down through several states, Iowa, Minnesota, and North Dakota. 2 inches of snow and winds gusting up to 60 miles an hour in the forecast for North Dakota. They can have that too. And then it says intense winds are forecast today from Montana and western North Dakota south into Texas. As we just discussed, red flag warnings are out, been issued for western Oklahoma with sustained winds of 20 to 30 with gusts up to 45 today. Humidity will be as low as 10%. That's not cool. You know what? The lower the humidity, the worse the fire conditions.
Yeah. Right?
Got it? Hey, speaking, I got a picture the other day that included you in on that group text.
Oh, yeah.
What's a little early for tomato planting, isn't it?
My dad is insane.
That's awesome.
It is not even February, and he already has tomato seeds planted in our house.
That hot tunnel has changed his lifestyle.
It has. It's ridiculous.
And yours, too.
And mine.
And
It took our garden.
So you guys are going early, ain't you?
Yeah, we are. It turned into from a seasonal thing to a year-round thing.
I don't get a break. With all, well, you know, he's got to do something to pay for your college. He's planted. How many did he plant?
I'm not sure exactly how many, but we have some really big, like, they look like serving trays, but on a bigger scale. They're like, however long.
Huge.
That. They're full. Two of them full.
That's a lot of maters.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Is that the only thing you planted was the maters?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, probably a little, still a tad early for the peppers.
Yeah, he's just experimenting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And he usually, his experiments are usually pretty successful when it comes to tomatoes.
Usually, yes.
Any crazy varieties he planted, or are they all Florida?
I think they're all just the normals.
Well, that's good. We're going. All right. Today is the Wheeler General Store happy hour. Let's take a big good day to go to the Wheeler General Store and go inside and shop, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would be.
Yeah, it sure would be. So, all right. Let's take a Wheeler General Store break, and we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. High Pro Feeds has built their reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. Their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. High Pro is a name you know and trust. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your trusted High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at hobartfarmandgarden.com.
Here are just a few good reasons on why you should do business with 5A Repair in Elk City. For one, they have factory-trained Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and GM technicians on staff, providing full-line automotive and equipment repair. Secondly, they are a Napa Auto Care Center backed by a minimum 2-year warranty. Thirdly, from minor tire repair to a complete engine and transmission replacements, they'll treat you like you matter, because you know what? You do. They also have most major tire brands available. And 5A does wheel alignments, heater and air conditioning servicing, plus oil change and inspections. And when it comes to lawn and garden equipment, 5A Repair is your Western Oklahoma and East Texas Panhandle Red Max authorized dealer. These zero-turn mowers are built to last with heavy-duty frames and steel decks. And their Red Max string trimmers are top of the line. All warranty work is also done right in-house. And they service all makes and models of lawn equipment and smaller farm equipment. Call or stop by 5A Repair, 915 North Van Buren in Elk City. Take it from owner Marty Ashbaugh. 5A Repair is quality you can trust.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service, 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com.
Life gets a lot easier when you've got the tools to handle the cold, like generators, because losing power is not an option. Propane heaters and portable heaters keep you warm and working. Heated jackets and vests keep your core warm. Gloves! For your vehicle, anti-freezing wiper fluid, battery charger, engine starters, flashlights, rechargeable hand warmers, WeatherTech floor mats to protect your floorboard, D-Gel diesel, scrapers, and de-icer. You know who's got all this. Napa Auto Parts in Elk City, 716 West 3rd.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Your mommy's proud of you today.
Why?
She shared our live feed.
Hey.
He said, Today in Ag with Briley and Jimmy. All right, let's check out some ag weather out in the Texas Panhandle. Lipscomb, 44 degrees. Wind chill at 34. Humidity's 25. Dew point's 11. Winds are out of the northwest at 29 miles an hour with gusts up to 37. Check this out. Peak wind gust today, 54 miles an hour. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yep. 152 minutes or 152 sub-freezing minutes today already. 44 is the 8-inch soil temperature right now. Bare soil temperature, according to this. I don't know who's sending me messages on my Fowler Agency text line. This is not Tradio. I'm not going to advertise you have a 3-bedroom, 1-bath for rent in Elk City. A little late for Tradio there. Okay, let's check out the Central Crop Care of Hobart, Oklahoma. Grain market update. And let me refresh this thing real quick. A lot of green on the grain board today. Kansas City wheat, March 528, up 10 and 3 quarters. May is 539, up 10 and a half. Wheat out of Chicago, March 519, up 9. May is 530, up 8 and 3 quarters. Corn, March 426, up 6. May is 433, up 5 and 3 quarters. Soybeans, March, up 3 at 1056. Up 3 for May 2 at 1067. Soybean oil, March 5271, up 26, or down 0.26. Soybean meal, March 290, up 8. May 295, up 11. So everything's doing good there. Oats for March, 303, up 10 and a quarter. Cattle, I looked earlier, didn't look bueno, and it still don't look good. Another screw worm found in Mexico is the reasoning probably for this drop in the market. February lives, 231.60, down 445. April's 233.42, down 5. Feeders for January, 361.10, down 732. March is down 887 at 355.67. April's down 872 at 354.20. So not too good. It's still good, though. It's just down quite a bit today. February, lean hogs, 88.02, down 22. Let's see what oil's doing. Have you seen the price of gas at the Hutch's across from the high school?
I have not. I haven't
been. It was like $1.80-something or something.
Dang.
Yeah. So, yeah. Pretty cheap. Oil, February, 59.93, up 74 today. Natural gas is little over $3 at 309 for February, and that's about it. Let's see. I want to check out the softs market. Coffee, cocoa, sugar, cotton. There it is. Cotton for May at 66.18, down 0.09, so still not looking good. Orange juice is looking good. I still haven't figured out how to read that orange juice deal because I know I'm not paying $206.95 for a pound of oranges. Ooh. So it must be 206, up 745. I don't know. I guess I need to take the time and figure out how to read it. I'm not that guy. Okay. Just to remind people on countywide burn bans, Harmon, you were in there. Cotton's in there. Jefferson's in there. Grady's in there. Pottawatomie County. And a couple other counties, but the ones listening in today in ag area is that's the ones that affect you. So somebody responded yesterday on the show talking about every county should be under a countywide burn ban. Yeah. So then there, I seen some replies on social media about the countywide burn bans. It's not as easy as it sounds. Yes, it's dry and all this other stuff going on. And honestly and truly, probably 1 out of 10 fires started is probably human caused. The rest of them are other causes involved in that one.
Yeah.
And we're going into the actual burning season of grasslands in the next 2 to 3 months. So if you got a burn ban going on, some ranchers cannot burn their pasture, and they need to.
Yeah.
They can control invasive species and, you know, get a good start, stuff like that. So it's a, I don't know, I'm on the fence on that deal. We're not, this is not 2010 or 11 when we hadn't had rain in a year or two.
Yeah.
This is just a seasonal deal going on, and hopefully a talked about this a million times. Prescribed burning is the only way to go. Mm-hmm. All there is to it. You have, when you have prescribed fires, you have equipment in place in case it does get out of control and contain it. And they got a really good record on that. Control burns sometimes good, sometimes bad, most times pretty good.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Just, we don't need a, not yet. So my opinion, you don't like it, I don't know what to tell you. I'm trying to be nice here. you see, I was trying to be nice.
Yeah, you are. Yeah,
because
to be nice.
I see people's point in mm-hmm. having a burn ban in place, and I see the other people's point in not having a burn ban.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Hey, National FFA Week is coming up next month.
Yep.
Are you ready? Yeah. Are we ready at Elk City?
Yeah, we're.
So you being an officer, so is the president took you out flying around yet in his plane?
No, he hasn't.
He doesn't have a plane.
Nah, he doesn't. I told him he needs to get on, or no, I told him before National Convention that he should get a plane and fly us to National Convention. He's like, not happening.
He probably doesn't have the insurance for that.
Probably not.
So I seen some posts on, I should have messaged him or his dad. Is he thinking about going to K-State? Because, I mean, you guys don't talk at school or what?
I don't see him hardly at all.
Really?
Yeah. Like, we don't have any classes together.
Oh, I got you. Oh, I seen a K-State plane. So he must have been at Manhattan.
I haven't heard about this one.
Yeah, we'll have to dig.
I'll have to ask him.
No, we're going to break the news on the show when we interview him.
Oh, let's do it.
Yes, do that. We won't talk no more about him and his purple. I did see something on there, one of the replies. Remember, you're in Orange Country or something like that. I don't know what was going on. So what do you guys kind of got brewing right now for that week?
So far the plan is on Monday, where our officer team is going to go to the elementary school and read some agriculture books to the little kids.
Okay.
And then Tuesday, hopefully, we'll come here on the radio with the officer team.
Yeah.
And then Wednesday is the Capitol Day up in the city.
Yeah.
So we're going to take, I think, just the officer team. I think that's all that's going to go. Maybe some more. I don't know yet.
What's your plans up there? To meet the governor, lieutenant governor.
I've never been.
What?
Yeah, because I was in Thailand last year. So I haven't got to go yet, so I'm excited for that. But yeah, it's going to be fun. And then on Thursday, we're going to do an ag venture day with the elementary kids. Like, they're all going to come out to the ag building. And then I'm not exactly sure how it's going to be set up, but it's just going to be like a fun, like, way to teach them about FFA and ag.
Your dad's messages and has sent us a message. Yes, Pops, we've already figured it out. She's gonna be here. So, we're gonna talk about your trip to Thailand coming up next break.
We're gonna
get into that because I think it's pretty cool what you guys do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's agriculture related, right?
Yep. Pretty much. For the most part.
Yeah,
it's exciting.
Okay, the screw worm before we go to our next break. The screw worm threat grows near the Texas border. As breaking news, Mexican authorities confirm another screw worm case in Gonzales. And I don't even know how to say the next name. Tamalapatitos. I don't know what it's called. Anyway, in Gonzales, prompting urgent calls for increased livestock monitor and vigilance. Texas Ag Commissioner, Mr. Miller, issued a stark warning to livestock producers in Texas and nationwide after Mexican authorities confirmed an additional New World screwworm case in a seven-year-old bovine in Gonzales, only 215 miles from south or from 250 miles south of the border. The infected animal had no reported history of movement outside of that area and represents the third case in that state. So it sounds like they got some flies in that area. The screw worm may now be moving closer on its own with no apparent link to commercial animal movement, according to Commissioner Miller. Texas producers must act now, stay informed, stay vigilant, and prepare immediately. We cannot drop our guard for even a moment. So with this north wind we got going today, maybe it'll blow them back down there.
Maybe.
All right. Let's take a Wheeler General Store break. We'll be right back after this.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Kent Watkins here with SEI Agritech in Elk City, Oklahoma. Winter is right around the corner. Don't wait to secure the best nutrition for your herd. Call now to book your winter contracts for cattle feed, including our premium Mixed 30 liquid feed. Give your cattle the edge this season and make sure they stay healthy during the cold winter months. Call us or stop by today here at SEI Agritech in Elk City for all of your feed needs. Follow us on Facebook for updates and more information.
Do you know Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau Insurance? If you do, you already know this about him.
When people meet me and get to know me, I think they do truly walk away with a feel of, you know what, when that guy says something, he means it. He means what he says what he means. I'm a straight shooter. I'll tell people up front, hey, I might not be able to beat that price. One thing that I always do when I meet with a client or with a new customer, I look over all their insurance stuff. And there are times I hand it back to them and say, hey, you've got great coverage at a great price. If you're not happy with your agent, let's look at making a change. But if you don't have any issues with them, hey, you've got another set of eyes that looked at your policy and you've got good coverage, you don't have anything to worry about. That goes a long way, because a couple of years from now, they may have a rate increase. I'm Mickey Lively, and I work for Oklahoma Farm Bureau, and my office is located in Greer County.
Mickey Lively and Oklahoma Farm Bureau in Greer County. Call 782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Hey folks, this is EJ Gredeman with ASCO Equipment out of Elk City, Oklahoma. If you need rental equipment, I got your back. From excavators to wheel loaders, telehandlers, and forklifts, we rent the brands that you know and trust. With flexible terms, responsible service, and expert support, we're here to keep your job on track. Need equipment? We're on it here at ASCO Equipment. Visit ASCOEQ.com or stop by our Elk City branch, 513 West 20th here in Elk City, Oklahoma, or you can just give me a call, 580-243-9233. Appreciate it, folks, and y'all have a blessed day.
Farming is no game, but when you're at the game and have the ability to control your irrigation in the field, it's a huge game changer. Valley Irrigation is where farming meets in-zone efficiency. With AgSense remote technology, farmers become MVPs of their fields. Real-time play-by-play control means you're always ahead of the game. Score big with irrigation technology from Valley. It's technology that improves your life and lets you beat the game and be in the game. Visit Knutson Irrigation to become the MVP of your field. Online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. They have your infield coverage and you're back.
I've banked First National my whole life as an ag producer. We understand. I'm over here in Elk City. Monty's over at Sayre. We're both operators. We have a real life experience on the situation. If times are tough, it's not just for our customers. We feel it too. When it's dry, when rates are up, we're able to communicate with management and everybody, hey, this is the situation. Our customers feel comfortable knowing that we get what they're talking about.
I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Yeah, farmers can be pretty tough, because it's a hard world in farming, you know, in the farming market. It's tough, so they're going to do all they can to get the best deal they can, and we're going to give it to them. Everything for maintenance on your equipment, changing your oils, you need some antifreeze, you need some hydraulic oil, any kind of grease. We got the bolts and fasteners now. We're opening up electrical fittings, zip ties, penetrating oils. Camrock is the name of the company. It's 2111 South Main, Elk City, south of Fred's Steakhouse.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Hooker, Oklahoma. Here is your northwestern Oklahoma ag weather update. 44, feels like 35, dew points 13, humidity's 28. Winds are out of the northwest, currently at 20 with wind gusts up to 26. Quarter inch of rain so far in the last 10 days. 3-day average, 4-inch bare soil. Don't do that when I'm talking. Now I want to yawn. 3-day average, 4-inch bare soil. Temperature 41 degrees, sunset at 5:52. Breezy and 46 today, tonight 19 for a low, and tomorrow Going to be windy, but not like today, and only 39 for high. Chance of snow flurries out here in the morning. So what is this deal your dad's talking about, red tomatoes? What's the deal?
So when we cleaned out our high tunnel, I think like 2 weeks ago, it was like sometime at the beginning of January, there was still good tomatoes on the plants. So we picked all the good tomatoes up off the plants and some that had fallen onto the floor while moving the plants.
Yeah.
We put them in a bucket and saved them and took them in the house. And we still have homegrown tomatoes that...
Are you making any salsa?
We haven't made salsa in a couple weeks. We need to make another batch before we leave.
Yeah, because you guys had a deal going where you're raising money, selling that salsa.
We are.
Speaking of that trip, when do you head to, pretty quick, to Thailand?
20 days.
20 days, and you're
actually
counting.
19 days and some hours.
Oh, what's the reasoning you're going over there? I mean, I know you guys do it for a mission trip.
Yeah, we're going over there for a mission trip.
But you have a different reason every year.
Yeah. So our main project this year over in the village where Grace House is, which is the orphanage my church built, ever since the Thai government has gotten stricter, all of those refugee kids that were in the Grace House village had to move back into the actual refugee. So there's no more kids at Grace House at that orphanage. So within the past year, they've turned it into a church, which I think that's really cool because my first year going to Thailand, none of the adults, like the families that lived in the same village as Grace House, none of them were Christians and wanted nothing to do with it. Now there's like roughly 30 to 50 adults in that village that are coming to the Christian church now, which I think is really cool. So they don't have electricity for the church. So our project this year is we're going to install them solar panels so that they can power their guitars and their keyboard and some lighting so that they can have like speakers and stuff for worship.
Right.
So we're going to do that. But we're definitely needing to sell some more salsa to raise some more money because it's an expensive project.
Right. How much money are you guys needing to raise?
Roughly $6,000.
Okay.
Which is a lot, but it'll be worth it.
Yeah. Have you got some raised so far?
I think we've got some.
Okay.
But we're definitely needing more.
Definitely need more.
Yeah.
And this might sound like a stupid question because you know it's me. So they've turned it into a church. So where did you come up with a preacher for this church? Not everybody speaks Thai.
Yeah. So a guy named Yuen, he was the like house dad for the orphanage. He is now switched from being like
the house dad to the minister.
Evangelism.
Okay.
So like I'm pretty sure he even goes like into the actual refugee and like shares the word of God to people in there. And then also at the church they made out of the orphanage.
Right. So do you know the reasoning behind they made the refugees go back? Is it worth talking about?
I remember mom telling me last year what it was for, but I honestly don't remember. I think things had just started to get more conflicted between the two countries, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe something along those lines. I'm not sure, though. So.
Right. Have you been to one of those refugees camps?
Mm-mm. We've tried to get in before, but...
Probably don't need to.
Yeah. It would be I feel like it'd be very scary.
Well, I don't know if it'd be scary, but you might not get out.
Yeah.
That would probably be scary.
That would be scary.
Yeah. So, how many times have you been there?
I think this is my fourth or fifth trip.
What have you guys, so over all those trips, what's the coolest thing you guys helped them do? I'm sure plant tomatoes was on your dad's agenda.
Yeah, that one was really cool. We did take the stuff from like that we use for our plastic culture gardens. We took the supplies over there and built them a plastic culture garden on a hill.
Right.
Yeah, so that was really cool and fun.
Are they still doing it today, I guess?
They don't have that. And then we've also built them, I don't remember what it's called, but it's like a little circle garden made out of bamboo. I don't remember what it's called. It's got a fancy name. that was fun to build. The really big water.
So what did it do?
It's what's
in the circle?
There's a layer. I think there's layers of rock. We did layers of soil, layers of wet cardboard.
Yeah.
And then
it's a compost garden.
Something like that.
Is that right? Am I saying it? That's what I'm thinking.
Something like that. There's a fancy word for it, but I can't think of it.
Oh, we're not into fancy words on this show.
But you keep layering them, and then you grow your plants on the top.
What is your dad telling you? You know he's chomping at the bit. Should we call him?
It's an African keyhole garden.
Oh, okay.
So it's just like a bamboo circle, and then you layer all those materials, and then you put the soil on top, and then you plant your seeds.
I gotcha.
So it's a little cute garden.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was fun to build.
Does it grow stuff?
Yeah, it grows stuff.
Had a compost center. What did he say? I got you. It had a compost center, but the growing part is layered with green matter and brown matter. Mm. So that's a little different. So interesting. Well, and then keep talking. What all kinds of other cool stuff have you done over there?
What else have we done? We've made the mic. Have you ever heard of Goggle Ball?
No.
Well, it's a little game with, it's got a border, the shape of an octagon. And then you get inside and you hit the ball around to each other.
Right.
Without getting hit.
Yeah.
We built them a pit for that. And then we've made them a homemade basketball goal with a trash can. We've done stuff like that for, the kids to play with.
Right.
And then the first year I went, we built a big water well.
I think I remember. Retell this story.
I don't remember. I was young this trip, so I didn't have to do anything for it. But
it was a hand-dug well.
Yeah. Our team dug the hole by hand all the way down, however many feet it was.
Was it deep?
It was deep. It was really deep.
Do you have any retaining walls in there?
I don't know.
No, you didn't, or you would remember. Softball. He said softball.
Oh, yeah. If anybody has any softball equipment, cleats or gloves that y'all don't need anymore, we would gladly take them with us to Thailand because we're going to
teach them how to play
softball this year.
Oh, I bet we can hook you guys up.
Because their whole thing is soccer or football, how they call it, right. But we're gonna teach them how to play. Yeah, we're gonna teach them how to play softball this year.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Who's teaching you or your dad? Both.
Maybe both.
Who's better at softball? Probably you.
It depends on the day.
Your dad's just he's a wannabe softball coach. You're going to raise some more money, mm-hmm. And if anybody's got any extra cattle money out there they're wanting to spend, I think it's cool that you guys are going over there and mm-hmm. putting solar panels on a church there to help them out with their, music, because music's a big part of churches.
It is. It's my favorite part.
Yeah, and then if anybody's got some old softball equipment laying around,
mm-hmm.
Cleats, gloves, balls, whatever, we can help them out.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you that's 100% write-off, the donation of softball equipment or, of course, money.
Yeah. If you are feeling generous and would like to donate, you can just write, you can make a check, like a tax deduction.
Right.
To one church.
Yeah. And just think, two of your calves you sell today at the sale barn at Elk City pay for all that solar equipment.
Yeah.
Yeah. So help them out. Yeah. No. And then Briley can brag on you.
Yeah, I can.
Yeah, you can do the bragging. And I think it's cool what you guys are doing.
Yeah, it's definitely for a good cause.
Yeah, it's definitely for a really good cause. And speaking of the sale barn, I know they probably had over 3,000 head. Brandon was on Tuesday, and he said, mm-hmm. I don't think it'll be as big as last week. Well, that went out the door. I've been to, I went out to 152 Merritt Road, come back, and been there. Yesterday, I was kind of traveling between the house and here, and then the solar panel guy showed up at one of my landlord's place for a water well, fix a water well, and I had never seen so many stock trailers.
Really?
Even back in the drought was going on, back in the teens, I seen long lines out here, but it was just a continuous, I don't know what was coming from the north, but I know coming from the south, just a continuous flow of cattle.
Wow.
And these weren't one cow or one calf in a trailer. These boys were loaded up. So it was crazy. See my neighbor twice. He'd be selling. So it'd be interesting to see how the sale goes today. The board's down today. That's the future board. Bet it ain't affecting the cash market one bit. I wouldn't think so. So, all right, let's take our last break. You ready?
Yep.
All right, we're going to take a Wheeler General Store break, and we'll be right back after this.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Have you ever wanted to broadcast high school sports, but were just a little bit worried about having no experience? This is Aaron Skinny Kalk, voice of the Elk City Elks. I was in that boat years ago. I took a chance and called a couple of playoff basketball games, and it was more fun than I thought it could possibly be. Now I'm on the call for every single game Elk City plays. That could be you. Paragon TV is expanding and is searching for broadcasters. If sports broadcasting is something that you want to try, go to ParagonTV.com and click the apply button. If you love sports and love to talk about sports, this job is for you.
The new year brings new health goals and wealth goals. Protecting your identity is an important step. Your info is in endless places that could expose you to identity theft, leading to lost funds. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, our restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Resolve to make identity, health, and wealth part of your New Year's goals with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS. Visit LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
You don't want to let your cotton set in the field day after day waiting to be ginned. Now to better serve you, the cotton farmers in Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle, Lone Star Gin has processed over 540,000 bales of cotton. They've got locations in Pampa, Texas, and now in Burns Flat, Oklahoma. Lone Star Gin has the ability to process over 2,400 bales per day. All they do is gin cotton. Go to LoneStarGin.com for more information, and you can find them on Facebook.
Did you hear about Mark and Jenny's place?
Yeah, that tornado really leveled it.
It's so sad, but get this. They're already making plans to rebuild with a barndominium.
Really?
Yep, they're using Cyclone Metal Buildings by Culverstone. Said the crew's local, fast, and everything's built to take on Oklahoma weather.
Smart move. I've seen some of those barndos. They look sharp.
It's not just homes either. Cyclone builds barns, shops, even commercial buildings.
I wouldn't mind a metal shop out back and something that's actually going to hold up if the wind picks up again.
Let's call them. Mark said Culverstone made it easy and affordable.
Cyclone Metal Buildings by Culverstone. Barndominiums, barns, and commercial buildings. Custom built to stand strong in the heart of tornado country. Call Damon Culver at 580-821-0681 or Terry Stone at 580-243-9598.
Cyclone Metal Buildings by Culverstone. Not just built for looks, but built to last for years to come.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, January the 9th. 2,569 head were sold. 7 head of steers at 432 brought 545, 9 at 527 brought 450, 15 at 580 brought 425, 5 at 653 brought 390, 10 at 869 brought 333, 8 at 1,005 brought 320, 7 head of heifers at 382 brought 495, 19 at 426 brought 5 at 514 brought 415, 16 at 563 brought 367.50, 10 at 575 brought 370, 15 at 604 brought 359, 9 at 607 brought 365, butcher cows 28 to 180, butcher bulls brought 121 to 206, bred cows 1,000 to 4,500, pairs 2,300 to 3,800, Elk City Livestock Auction 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma, sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey 580-497-6095.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Here's your Hobart Farm and Garden, Southwestern Oklahoma Ag weather update. I picked the big town of Lone Wolf. 51 mm-hmm. degrees. Dew points 14. Humidity's 22. The winds are out of the northwest at 24 currently. 3-day average 4-inch barrier soil temperature 47 degrees. Sunset at 5:48. Breezy and 50. 26 tonight. Mostly cloudy and 46 tomorrow. Either today or tomorrow's golfing weather. That's all I can say out of that deal. So you have a fan listening to you out of Topeka, Kansas. My grandson, he's home with a strep throat from school.
Oh, no.
So he's listening to the show.
Really?
And he said, go K-State. He said he thinks that's pretty cool. She's not going to the Philippines, Evan. She's going to Thailand.
It's close. They're neighbors, I think. Maybe.
I guess.
I don't know.
There's a little bit of water in between them. Yeah, it's probably really isn't that far. And anyway, I hope you get to feeling better, Mr. Evan. You can tell all your buddies up here you're popular. You was worldwide on Today in Ag with Jimmy and Briley. How's that? Pretty cool. And all right, let's see here. We want to talk about some butterflies?
Yes.
All right, let's go to the butterflies deals. So, on a Texas A&M AgriLife Today email, there was this one deal on there talking about research maps on monarch migration along Texas highways. We have monarchs come through here. I got a monarch come through my tree row every year.
Really?
Going north and coming south. When would it have been? 2015, I actually got to see my first major monarch migration, and they were heading south. I was working south of Carrizo, mm-hmm. and down there north of Laredo, and right on the border, was right on the river. Oh my god, I had never seen so many monarchs in my life, and I still remember today. And this went on for I don't know when it started. It was doing it when I got down there and went to work, and it was still going on when I left. So
That's insane. It's a big
I ain't talking hundreds. I'm talking thousands, if not tens of thousands. You could see them in the workover rig. You could see them fly through the workover rig stuff. Back when you didn't have a really good iPhone. Speaking of iPhones, that new update, I'm not happy with that new update that happened on my phone last night. So each fall, millions of monarch butterflies fly across the Texas skies on their 3,000-mile journey to the mountains of central Mexico. The state's position in the center of the migratory route makes it critical to the species' success, both in the spring when the monarchs move north to reproduce and in the fall when they travel south to overwinter. The migration, one of the most remarkable natural events in North America, depends on the habitat, wind patterns, and vegetation as guides of the butterflies. At the Texas A&M College of Agriculture, Life, and Sciences, scientist Robert Coulson, I say that right? Does that look like I said that right?
Coulson.
And then Professor James Tracy, they are studying how geographically wind and roadside habitat shape those journeys. The goal is to keep migration routes viable, supporting the recovery of the monarch populations, which have declined by more than 80% since 1999, according to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Science. And the research in partnership with the Texas A&M Transportation Institute and the Texas Department of Transportation use science-based mapping and modeling to reduce risk to monarchs during migration and support pollinator health across Texas. Now, there's a lot of monarchs get smashed up on the front bumpers when this is happening. And so when you see how many butterflies don't make the migration, it gives you perspective, Tracy said. It shows how closely our daily lives overlap with the nature world, and we are researching some small adjustments that could make a difference. So like up in New Mexico, I guess Colorado and all those other states, they have these, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, they have the, you know, the elk and deer, they migrate because of the severe winters and stuff in that area. And they've got these crossings over, like, right there at Raton. They have an elk crossing, deer crossing, where they can go over the highway.
Really?
Yeah. And instead of getting smashed.
That is cool.
On the highway. So they're trying to do the same thing with this deal, and I think it's really cool. So that if you should get on Texas A&M AgriLife on their website, and there's an article in there that says Research Maps Monarch. You ought to see the picture that Bradley and I are looking at on these monarchs in these trees. There's like, that's like probably two limbs on a tree, and there's like, I don't know, 150 monarchs on them.
Yeah,
pretty cool stuff.
Lot.
Yep. So in 2016, with funding from the Texas Comptroller's Office, Colson and Tracy began documenting monarch activity along major Texas highways, identifying another major factor in the decline of monarch vehicle collisions, they're calling it. From 2018 to 2029, with additional funding from the Texas DOT, the research team drove thousands of miles each fall, stopping every 30 to 50 miles to collect butterfly remains and record GPS coordinates. By combining these field observations with topographic, vegetation, and wind data, they're creating maps showing how geographic these influence monarch flight, in addition to pinpointing where and why collisions were happening. It was eye-opening, he said. We learned the monarch deaths were concentrated in very specific areas where landforms and wind patterns funneled them. So it's pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah.
He said, very eye-opening. He said two primary flyways emerged from the data. One runs through central Texas between Wichita Falls and Del Rio, and another one along the Gulf Coast. In some areas, food sources like wildflowers and roosting trees along migration routes drew the butterflies closer to the roadway. Bridges, causeways, and water features often concentrated their flight path. So anyway, so according to what they're doing is where they're hitting these major deals. You see those pictures where those guys are standing there.
Yeah.
They put up these, I guess you can call them high fences, but it's netting, and it looks like it's 8 to 10 foot tall. And what they're doing is trying to see if it'll divert them around the highways or make them go up higher over the highways to see what it is. But it said here, civil engineers Cole 88 and Carl Berman of the Texas A&M Transportation Institute designed flight diverters, they're called, mesh panels installed near roadways intended to encourage butterflies to fly higher over the roadways in the hot spots where the major monarch roadkill was. Cool stuff.
That is really cool.
Yeah, monarch, they're, you know, the what do they call it, the ecosystem. It's important to the survival of human beings.
Yep.
I wanted to share this with everybody. There's some free workshops coming up on trapping in the, with the Wildlife Department here in Oklahoma. Space is limited, so you need to sign up now. And there's a one, the February 7th and 8th at Pack Saddle. And there's one at Atoka. And there's one at Cooper. And Spavano, how do you say that?
I don't know.
Anyway, there's another one. I can't even pronounce it. That's shocking. I couldn't pronounce it. But if you want some trapping workshops, be cool. We need to get rid of some varmints, mainly coons. We got too many raccoons. And then also need to talk about pecans, pecans.
There you go.
What are you looking for when I said that? Were you looking for a pecan?
No, I don't like the way.
2026, a pecan pest management workshop will be in Shawnee, February the 17th. Get on OSU Extension and check out, just Google pecan, OSU pecans, and this workshop will come up. And I think it's free. I think it is. It's free. But here's the cool thing. You can get up to 5 CEUs for pesticide applicators. Thanks for coming in today.
Of course.
You hear the music?
Yeah, I do.
You gotta go. See you guys Monday. It's the Day in Ag with Briley and Jimmy. Brought to you by First National Bank and Trust, Elk City and Sarah, Oklahoma.